You're listening to the Tuesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. For part two of today's program, I'm happy to have with me in the studio Martin McClendon, a faculty colleague from Carthage College from the theater department, who has joined us any number of times to talk about various things from the theater department at Carthage, including his heavy involvement in something called verbatim theater. And Martin McClendon is joining us to talk about a public reading that is coming up, a premier public reading of the newest verbatim play, something called Terminal Exhale. And joining us via the telephone is someone who has had involvement in this and at least one other verbatim theater project at Carthage, Michael Cote, who happens to be founder of an organization called Enough, Plays to End Gun Violence. And via telephone, he will be a part of this conversation as well as we talk about this public reading of Terminal Exhale coming up on Saturday, May 11th. And at what time?
That's 3 to 5 p.m.
Okay, so Saturday afternoon at Carthage College. We welcome both of you to the morning show.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you so much for having us.
Martin, could you very, very briefly, I'm afraid, just summarize this whole notion of verbatim theater, and then we'll get to this latest incarnation.
Sure. Since about 2015 or 16, myself, my students, and a couple other faculty and folks have been interested in verbatim theater, which is where we take the words of actual people, we interview them, and then we transcribe them and edit them into a play event, a theater piece, so that real people can talk about their real lives and get the word out about stories that otherwise may go unheard.
Hmm. And for this particular play called Terminal Exhale, you are touching on a pressing contemporary concern, but in kind of an interesting way. Explain the concept behind Terminal Exhale.
Sure, and it really all began last year with our play Kenosha Verbatim Project, which we entered into something called World Premiere Wisconsin, which is partly run by Michael Cote. And so Michael really liked Kenosha Verbatim, and we started to think about how could we do maybe a project together, a collaboration. And with support from our administration at Carthage, we were able to make that happen. And, you know, Michael's passion, I think I can speak for him right now, is gun violence prevention. And moving the needle on that. So we quickly decided, well, what if we did something, a verbatim piece about gun violence and its aftermath somehow. And we also have a really thriving nursing program at Carthage and health sciences folks. And we had previously done a play about the pandemic and nurses in the pandemic. And so Michael had been listening to a Malcolm Gladwell podcast about doctors who treat gunshot wounds. And sort of we coalesced around this and kind of realized one day, hey, maybe we could interview trauma surgeons or nurse practitioners and physical therapists and people like that about what they see day to day as the aftermath of this gun violence epidemic that we have in America.
Hmm. So it's, in a sense, a largely uncounted cost, emotional cost, to what otherwise is already a terribly painful and tragic situation, but an aspect of that tragedy that most of us do not, in a sense, directly encounter and understand.
That's true. And, you know, it's a cost of up to 130,000 people injured a year, 30 to 50,000 people killed every year. And it costs our economy billions. But we don't talk about it because we accept it all in some way, shape, or form. And the only other thing I'll say about that is that gun safety measures are a bipartisan issue. Most Americans agree that we could do more to make things safer in America. And so before we get into the heated rhetoric or anything about that, I think we have to recognize that this is an issue with wide bipartisan support, actually.
Very good. Michael Cote, tell us a little bit about your involvement in, first of all, this kind of theater and specifically this organization called Enough, Plays to End Gun Violence, which are not necessarily plays of the nature that Martin was describing earlier in terms of verbatim theater, but of course designed to speak on this really important issue. Tell us about this initiative and when and how you created it.
Sure. Well, in 2019, I had been mulling over how theater could get more involved in this gun violence prevention sphere. The inciting incident for me was Parkland and being in rehearsal and the news breaking through and then going back to rehearsing a play and thinking that is a really messed up way of going about your day, that you just move through these things as if it is the weather of the day. So in 2019, after seeing what came out of Parkland, which was the incredible youth movement that's really been keeping everyone on notice, including our elected officials, I decided that the material that really didn't exist at the moment that needed to be centered needed to be generated by young playwrights who are experiencing this as part of the lockdown generation. So in 2020, we had our first cycle of our call for submissions where we call young people across the country to write short 10-minute plays confronting the issue of gun violence. And then we end up selecting a handful of those plays each year for our nationwide reading. And we involve theaters, universities, Carthage Theater did this in 2020, and community groups and schools to be a part of this reading and present these plays on the same day across the country. While I'm doing this, I'm also producing a world premiere Wisconsin last year and encountered Martin's verbatim play of Kenosha Verbatim Project, which is about a very the aftermath of a very prominent shooting in Kenosha, and realized that this is another way we can approach this issue. We can look at gun violence just like we looked at it through the lens of young people through our usual enough programming. We can look at gun violence through a specific lens that most people have not experienced. And the incredible thing, listening to the testimonies of these healthcare providers, is that they really do underscore that there's only a handful of individuals who get to experience the kind of carnage and horrific images that these healthcare professionals do. It's them and the young people and people in the communities who are victims of this violence. So I'm really proud of the work we've done with our students and working with Martin to get these stories in front of an audience.
I'm curious to hear a little bit about how you managed to achieve the connection with these healthcare workers. Where do they come from in general? Who are they? And what was sort of the nature of the overture that was made, the invitation that was given for them to be part of this?
I'll start with that, but then hand it off to Michael because he was crucial in this. But with all of our projects, we create a call for respondents or for participants. And we were lucky that we were able to hook into some of the folks who work in Milwaukee, which has one of the only level one trauma centers in Wisconsin. There are only three, and two of them are in Milwaukee. But the other half of it was, of course, Michael's connections in this sphere. And so Michael was able to leverage some folks, and I'll let him pick up the story at this point.
Yeah. So some of the folks that we were able to get on a nationwide scale is Dr. Joseph Sacrin, who is a trauma surgeon and the chief medical officer for the Brady campaign, which is the oldest gun violence prevention organization in the country. But other folks came straight from that Malcolm Gladwell podcast, learned who those folks are and reached out to them. They connected us with other folks. And I think the message there is that there's a lot of that they want to tell this story. I mean, they need people to hear what it is that they're doing. Otherwise, our only representation of what gun violence really does is if you are unfortunate to experience it yourself and be a victim, or through television, which is wildly not reality. So there was a lot of people, once we put the call out there, who were really curious and interested and clamoring is maybe too hard of a word, but to tell their story and be able to get some things off their chest.
I'm curious to know a little bit about the nature of these conversations and your mindset as you sit across the table from someone. I guess for some reason, one can easily imagine a scenario if this were
the table across the Zoom.
Right. But I you can certainly imagine scenarios if we were talking about, for instance, commercial television where there would be a really sort of active interest in sort of trying to elicit tears, trying to elicit drama, to go for the melodramatic and so on. And I know enough about both of you to know that that was not at all what this was about. That being said, what kinds of things did you think about in terms of these actual interviews and trying to really pull unvarnished truth from the people you were speaking with?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. And again, I'll start and let Michael finish off with more words of wisdom than I can provide. But we created a battery of questions with our students in order to get the ball rolling. And so that was part of the class that we actually were engaged in making this verbatim piece. Different people have different styles of sharing. Some folks were very eager to share their experiences. And while we did not go and seek such traumatic experiences, these subjects feel that it is very important for people to know exactly what's at stake. And there are aspects of this play which are going to be extremely difficult to listen to and watch because they are taking you literally into the trauma bay and caring for people who have the most grievous injuries. It didn't take a lot of prodding for them to go there. And for others, we don't prod. We allow the story to unfold as it unfolds. What would you say, Michael?
Well, I'd say we asked everyone some key questions. You know, we asked how they got into medicine. We wanted to know where their passion lies. And we wanted to know, you know, when's the first time you encountered gun violence in your practice? And how did that impact you? And were there any stories of particular individuals that stand out as, you know, milestones along your journey as a healthcare professional? And then also, you know, looking at this through a public health lens, like what does that mean for these doctors when they have to encounter this issue day in, day out? If we look at it through a public health lens, like what might the solutions be and what might the causes be? And what might the symptoms be of this issue? So, and like Mark said, when they're with an agenda, except to give them a vehicle in which they could tell their story. That's the only thing that we had interest in, is what their story was. And we always ended with, if you were to stand on stage right now in front of a group of people, what would you want to tell them? So that was always one of the things we wanted to make sure is that their voice was coming through in this piece.
Very good. So, Martin McClendon, explain what this public reading is going to be this coming Saturday afternoon and a little bit about what else is going on that day.
Sure. So the reading will be on Carthage campus at our Wartburg Theater and Lobby. We are actually going to have folks in this arena tabling as well. So we'll have various organizations such as the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort, Kenosha County Human Services, and others there with materials before the show from about 2:30 on. Then at 3 p.m., we'll go into the theater and hear this staged reading. And afterward, we'll also have a panel discussion with some folks who were part of the creation, but also some of the folks who actually work in this area. There will be snacks as well, just so you know, and it's totally free to the public. No reservations are required. In fact, we're not even in the box office system at Carthage. Just come on over, show up, park in the north lot, and join us at 3 p.m. if you want to learn a little bit more about this issue.
Great. And again, the title of this brand new verbatim play, Terminal Exhale. So this is a public reading and a more fully staged performance, if you will, is promised for the spring of 2025.
Correct.
Very good. Martin, I'll give you 30 seconds to talk about a gratifying award which another verbatim play recently received.
Oh, thanks. Well, we learned in early April that Carthage and our verbatim folks won the Rosa Parks Award for Social Justice Playwriting from the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival for the creation of the Kenosha Verbatim Project, which was about the aftermath of the shooting of Jacob Blake.
fantastic. A well-deserved honor.
Thank you.
And I'm congratulate you and everyone who was involved in that important project. Martin, oh, it's always great to reconnect with you. Martin McClendon from the theater faculty at Carthage. And Michael Cote, great to make your acquaintance, if only over the telephone. I hope we can meet someday in person, and I hope we can maybe at some point talk even further about the important work that you are doing in this field. Thank you for being my morning show guest as well.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Greg.